You are listening to a digitally remastered class of HaRav Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida.
Let's go to page 497. I'm going to discuss about our favorite mitzvah today. I say it's the favorite mitzvah because, you know, we don't do many mitzvahs with simcha shel mitzvah, real joy. There's only one mitzvah that all of us do with simcha. That's the mitzvah criticizing somebody else. So that's what we're going to discuss this morning. Let's start chapter 45, just to read a few sentences. The brother Yehuda has been making a very strong case, an emotional case, for Yosef to let Binyamin go back. Now, he would replace him. He would go back because of the enormous harm. If you go to sentence 34 on 497, how can I go back to my father and the child is not with me, and I'll see the evil that my father will befall my father. And Yosef could no longer hold himself back. Rashi learns actually a little slightly different. He could not endure everybody else being around when he would reveal himself to his brothers because of the shame that everybody, his brothers would feel, his revealing himself in their presence. And therefore he announced, "Everybody, take everybody out of here." And there was nobody there when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, page 498. And he cried, and all of Egypt heard, all the house of Pharaoh. And Yosef said to his brothers, "I am Yosef. Is my father still alive?" And the brothers were not able to answer him because they were totally startled. Very interesting medrash over here. And the medrash brings on this story of Yosef, "Oy li miyom hadin, oli miyom hatochecha." Woe was for the day of judgment, woe was for the day of criticism. Yosef, who's the youngest of all the brothers, was not able to, when he revealed himself to his brothers, they were not able to answer him. A fortiori, when Hashem in the day of judgment will judge and criticize us, we will, how much more so will we not be able to answer him? And then the Medrash continues. The Alkali continues as follows. Just like when Bilaam's donkey said to him, "I'm Bilaam. I've always treated you so nicely. What are you beating me for?" The Bilaam had nothing to answer also. And just like Bilaam's donkey couldn't answer, how much more so we will not be able to answer in front of God. There's a very, very difficult question here. A very difficult to analyze is very difficult. First of all, there's one question that's not my question. Halevi asked this question already. He says, there's no criticism here. No one's criticizing anybody. He says, "I'm your brother Joseph." That's not criticism. Where's the notion of criticism here? Another question is obvious. What do we have to learn out? The only reason we're able, when someone criticizes us, to defend ourselves or justify ourselves, because we do know that the other person doesn't know all the facts. Very often, criticism isn't even accurate because a person does have a personal agenda when he criticizes too. And therefore, we actually do have something to answer to some extent. When God criticizes us, it's accurate. He knows all the facts. Of course we're not going to be able to answer. What do we have to learn out from here? I guess the other question is, what do you mean God criticizes us? It says the day of judgment. What does it mean, the day of judgment and the day of criticism? What does that mean? The day of judgment. What do you mean criticism? What does criticism mean even over there? There's a day of judgment every Rosh Hashanah, and there's a day of judgment as we enter into the world to come. That's another day of judgment. What do you mean day of criticism? You know, a person goes in front of the judge, he's being judged, not criticized. So in order to answer the Beis Halevi's question, he says the following thing. And a lot of people think this is a good answer to that question. That is, Yosef actually said two statements. Look at it again. First, he said, I'm Joseph. That's just a statement of fact. Is my father still alive? That was criticism. What was the criticism? The criticism, when you sold me, did you care about my father? So what are you now pleading? You can't hurt your father. Where were you when you sold me? Were you thinking about my father then too? I'll tell you what I don't like about it. I think it's a total misunderstanding of criticism. In other words, what he's doing is he's saying, my father's still alive. He'd say, I'm Yosef. Where were you when you sold me? Here you're pleading how much you care about my father. What were you thinking then? That means that there's a certain element. He's putting them down. The one thing that's criticism is not is putting a person down. Criticism to put a person down is the exact opposite of what criticism is. Let me tell you the way the Rambam describes criticism. Criticism, when I criticize a person, the mitzvah, this is, we're all going to feel very bad about it. We're not doing the mitzvah correctly. Criticism is not that God has deputized me and I'm an agent of God. God Almighty said, I'm deputizing every Jew. You see something wrong, go criticize the person. And that's what most people think. They're agents of the Almighty to do criticism. The Rambam says criticism is, I'm coming as your friend. And I say to you, not you're doing anything wrong to God. I say to you, you're hurting yourself. That's the Rambam's language. Criticism, you're hurting yourself, which means I'm not coming as God's agent. How dare you violate my law? I care about you. I care about you. And therefore, you're hurting yourself. So that's a whole different... And by the way, if you had that, we probably wouldn't have to take away some of our Simcha Shel Mitzvah over there. You know, when you put somebody down, and you know God has empowered you to put somebody down, that gives a person a good feeling. When you have to come as a friend and really care about a person, that's not a that feeling immediately will go away. And if that's true, to what's the English word? To zittle a person, to put them down, to zittle, insult them, is contradictive to the idea of Christ. He's making fun of him. Here, your buddy, but where did you care about your father then? It's like exactly the opposite of what criticism should be. When you belittle a person, that's the opposite of what criticism. You're supposed to build them up. You're such a good guy. Why should you be hurting yourself? You have such a good reputation in the community. Why should you do something that if you do this behavior, you know, your kids are going to have a hard time getting married or whatever you find this person's self-interest. When you belittle a person, it has exactly the opposite effect. So even to imagine that you criticize, besides the fact, Joseph has heard them commiserate already, their own recriminations when they didn't realize he understood what they were saying. There was a lot of recriminations among themselves for what they did. Plus the fact, Yehuda is saying the truth. I mean, Yosef knows Yehuda is saying the truth. Why should you make fun of somebody who's now, even if it was true what you said, but at this moment, isn't it not true that he actually feels bad that his father is going to, he can't face the pain of giving his father without bringing up his brother? If his brother's not there, he knows that's true. Man risked his life in order to make that point. So to make fun of him at this moment is exactly the wrong thing. In fact, the Shalom says a very interesting thing. And I know for sure it applied to this case. He says like this, that we have a contradiction. On one hand, there's a mitzvah to criticize a person. On another hand, the Talmud says, just like there's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, something will not be heard, should not be said. How do you, on one hand, it says you have to criticize a person. It doesn't say only if he's going to listen. And here it says, when he's not going to listen, you shouldn't listen. You shouldn't criticize him, which is actually a question in the Rishonim, if you know for sure he's not going to listen. But one opinion in the Talmud says, yeah, you know when you're free from criticism, when he's going to hit you. If he hits you, someone says, when he's about to hit you, or if he actually hit you. So how could it be over here that there's a mitzvah not to say that he didn't hit you? He says like this. There's an idea, there's one question when you criticize a person, will he listen or not? What about if it's going to make it worse? sometimes criticism makes something worse. You know, when you get attacked, sometimes you feel insulted, then you will go the other, you'll go the other way, and you'll do things that maybe you wouldn't have done just to make a point. So that's his rule. With criticism, whether it helps or doesn't help, that's could be a discussion. At what point you have to stop? But when it's going to make it worse to criticize, and by the way, people that criticize us, behaviors that we constantly criticize, usually not only, you know, they don't help, they make it worse. In other words, if I was thinking about doing something, I get criticized for something, then even if I was, now for sure I'm not going to do it. That's human nature. So over here, when you insult somebody, you're starting a new war with him. That's a reason not to do what you say. And therefore, it can't possibly be that that's the criticism here. So then we go back to our questions. Where is the criticism? B, what do we have to prove that just like Joseph's not answered, we're not going to be able to answer God or prove from the donkey? Of course, when God says something that's accurate, you know, he knows exactly on point, not over-exaggerating, he has no agenda, then of course we're not going to be able to answer. And what does it mean that the day of judgment and the day of criticism? It's the day of judgment. It's the first we ever understand, other than this Medrash, that it's a day of criticism. What does that mean? I'd like to suggest the following thing. It's a huge insight, I think, into human nature in a very important way in interpersonal relationships. To say like this, criticism is usually an evaluation. This behavior is going to be harmful to you. I'm your friend, and I'm trying to get you to stop. There's another type of criticism. When I'm the victim of what you've done, and I'm just telling you I'm in pain. Whatever justifications you might have had in your mind, and whatever you think could have been a reason to do, I am suffering. I'm in pain. And when a person says he's in pain, there's nothing to answer. The criticism here, we're talking about the victim's criticism. When I come to your friend, you may have something to answer me in a nice way. We could have a discussion. You think it's harmful. Maybe I think it's good for me. You saying it's big? Like, let's discuss it. But one thing, there's no place for discussion at all. And that's when I'm in pain. I'm the victim. I'm in pain. And let's read this. That the idea I told you before is not only that it's wrong in understanding criticism, it doesn't work in the sentence either. What's the sentence? That I am Joseph? Is my father alive? What does he want to hear? Yeah, no, your father's dead and he's depressed that he's like doesn't get out of bed. Is that the answer in text when he's asked, is my father alive? What would he like to hear? He's depressed, he doesn't get out of bed for 22 years. Is that what he wants to hear? He's hoping his father's alive and he'll be able to resume the relationship with him. See, the way they're understanding the sentence is being, he's giving a different message. You care about my father? Why didn't you care about him then? Which means the answer is, what he's really trying to tell them is, he's not alive, you killed him then, you hurt him then, which is exactly the opposite of what the text is trying to say. If you read the text, is my father alive? What would he like to hear? He's dead, depressed, or he'd like to hear he's vital and I can resume the relationship with him. So therefore, to say that he's insulting them, did you care about my father when he's old over here, from what you did, is he still alive? You know, it would buttress his insult if you're right. He broken person, he cries all day and he moans all day. That's what that would be the logical consequence of if that's what the message was. But the message is that the opposite. He wants to hear he's healthy. He wants to hear the father was not affected or not too much affected by what happened. So therefore, it has nothing to do with criticism. That's not what I mean. He's not making fun of them. He's saying to them, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm in a lot of pain. My relationship with my father, Oda Vichai, is, can I resume? Does he have the same? Is he healthy and in a wonderful frame of mind that I can actually resume the relationship? Or is he like frail, Nebuchadnezzar, and old, and even though I'm back, it won't really, we can't restore the vitality of the relationship we had 22 years ago. Ha'od Avichai is looking for, he's hoping that the answer is yes, you can still recapture and you can go further in the relationship. He's not scarred so much that you can't. When a person is in pain, there's no answer for pain. That's what it's saying. When a person is in pain, there is no answer. This is the victim talking. And it's exactly the same thing with the donkey. Balaam's donkey was a victim. He's getting beaten up. He's getting beaten up by his master. And he says, I was always so good to you. What do you, you know, I'm in pain here. You're beating me. You're beating me. It's one thing when we talk about how I'm acting, how you're acting, how I'm acting to God, to other people. But there's a whole different thing when I'm telling you that what you're doing is putting me in pain. And there's nothing to answer when a person is in pain. You can't answer pain. I'm telling you I'm suffering. What do you want me to do? I'm not suffering. Now, there actually is an answer you can give a person in pain. Very interesting. You know, we know the brothers are getting punished here for selling Yosef. And we have stories in thousands of years later of Asar Harugei Malchus, that 10 sages of Israel were killed because they sold Joseph. So the Rishonim asked a very interesting question. 10. What do you mean 10? Benjamin wasn't there, and neither was Reuben there. It's 9 brothers and Ben and Yosef. Why did 10 sages of Israel be killed? Only 9 should have been killed. Only 9 did. Rabbeinu Bachai says a very interesting thing. He says the 10th one is Yosef. Yosef's also getting punished for Mechiras Yosef. It's a very interesting thing. It means sometimes the victim is not, if I bully you and then you punch me. Now, it's true, you're not allowed to punch him. A guy who's bullying you, you can't punch. That's not right. You shouldn't hit him. Or a guy's insulting you and you hit him. But on the other hand, to say that he didn't contribute to what happened, he did contribute. He contributed to your hitting him. And therefore, he has some responsibility for your act. So therefore, Mechiras Yosef means Yosef's behavior also contributed to his sale. So that is actually one thing. It's not always clear that a victim is always innocent. A victim's not always innocent. Because a victim, Yosef was the victim of the sale. But you know what? It didn't happen all of a sudden one day. They said, oh, we're going to take this brother. He chepitzach with them. He started up with them. He irritated them. Now, they had no right to sell him. That was beyond the pale. But on the other hand, he did contribute to their making a bad decision. That doesn't mean that they're off the hook. They still did something terrible. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't bear some responsibility for their action. Therefore, I think the Medrash is really saying, without this Medrash, there's what to answer even a victim. Even a victim, you could answer. You don't need a pasuk to tell you, or a sages to tell you, you can't answer a victim. Well, they're just telling you a fact you can't answer. If it's true, you can't answer somebody, I'm in pain, then you don't need a sentence to say that. You don't need the rabbis to say that. It means that you actually do have something. It's not right to answer. You can't answer because that doesn't really, whatever he caused doesn't justify your doing anything. That can never be any means of any just, he's doing something wrong. But if he's in pain, you cannot answer. You contribute to it also. You're not, don't look like you're such a tzaddik. You rates this on. Must be your influence. I'm thinking Yiddish this morning. You rate stun, or there's some words that only in English they don't even understand the emotion. You know, you irritated me, spurred me on, you bothered me enough, you chepzed me enough that I should want to do something. So actually, there would have been something you could say, but you can't say. Because when you see somebody's pain, even though you know that it's not all of a sudden you went to an innocent person and decide to punch him in the mouth, it's that. You have a little history with him, and it might be an answer to your mother, why'd you hit your brother? But to the brother, that's not an answer. That's not an answer. When he's in pain, he's suffering, he has a, he knocked out a tooth, that's not an answer when somebody's in pain. And so that's what the rabbis are saying. The revelation, I'm Joseph, but then he's saying, Od Avi Chai, you hear, is my father still alive? You understand you understand the pain I'm in, that I've been separated from the father that I love, and I hope I'll be able to at least restore something. It's a description of his pain. And on that, the rabbis are saying, when the victim talks about his pain, then there's no way to answer that. Now, what does this mean in terms of God? And this becomes an incredible message of Oli miyom hadin, oli miyom hatechecha. There's a day of judgment, and there's a day of criticism. What does that mean, criticism? There's a day of judgment. Rashi brings in Sefer Bamidbar the following. It's one of the sentences we say on Rosh Hashanah. In Parshas Bullock, Lo hibit oven biyakov. God doesn't look at he overlooks our sins. Lo ro omo biyisro. He carries the burdens of our sins. Hashem elokov imo. God is with us. Usru as melech bo. Because God loves us. God overlooks our sins. That's normative Jewish thinking. It's exactly the opposite. God is medaktik with us. God is critical of us, like a hair breath. If we deviated a hair breath from something, God punishes us, and that's because He loves us. And here the sentence says exactly the opposite. God overlooks our sins because He loves us. It just doesn't make it. It's not true. But that's the way Rashi reads it, and that's the pasuk we read in we start Rosh Hashanah with Malchus. That this is God's proclamation of the judgment on Rosh Hashanah. Oh, God, he overlooks our sins. He's not, in fact, it's exactly the word that the rabbis say that Hashem is medakdek im tzaddikim. He deals with them exactly, and he exacts from them for the slightest infraction. Rashi says, "Ain't no medaktik. Lo he bit of in God is not medaktik." It's just not true. We know that's not true. So what is God telling us here? This is in the prophecy of Balaam. The God does not, which is Torah. God does not exact from us. He overlooked because he loves us. It's exactly the opposite. The people that God loves, like with our own children, we're more exacting, more critical of, right? You have a different standard, and you the kid does one thing a little bit out of line, you get upset with him. That's what we know. And all of a sudden, God announces he doesn't. What God is saying is like this. Eino medaktik, what that means, and he carries our sins, means he doesn't carry anything as far as what we need. When a person does a sin, there's a character flaw. There's a character flaw. Sin is some kind of character flaw. The mitzvahs is perfect behavior, and therefore there's a character flaw. God doesn't overlook. He examines every character flaw and meets out a punishment to cure us. What it means he carries our sins is the fact that we insulted him and didn't listen to him and didn't care that he created us and was our father and sustains us and we disrespected him, his own hurt, that he overlooks. That's what the Torah is telling us. On Rosh Hashanah, it's Lohibit Oven B'Yakov. God overlooks his hurt. That we victimized him by treating him with such disrespect than we were. God, we insulted him by not listening to him. The idea that you're such a person and therefore you have a character flaw, that God's going to correct the character flaws in us. But the pain, to exact retribution for the pain we caused him, that's what he overlooks. When it says God is exacting us, means he's exacting to our imperfections to perfect ourselves. But the fact that he feels pain, that's not part of the equation, which, by the way, would be true, so we tell our children, but you know that's not true. It hurts me more than it hurts you. I don't even know if we say that to our kids anymore. It hurts me more than it hurts you. That's what it should be. That's really what it should be. You should not be dealing with your pain at all. If you feel pained and insulted by your child, then it doesn't hurt you more than you're helping him out, you're straightening him out. On the other hand, you're exacting a pound of flesh for what he pained you. That's what we do deal with our children. We don't deal with our children. I'm not saying how we should, but we don't deal with our children as if I wasn't affected. I wasn't insulted. I'm not hurt. It's only about you. And by the way, doesn't every time your wife start a curse, honey, this doesn't bother me. That's the first lie. Of course it bothers. That's why she's telling you. Right? I guess, you know, women listen. When your husband criticizes you, it's the first thing you say, honey, it's not about me. This doesn't bother me. You know, that you smoke, that you own exercise. That's just not true. It does bother you. It does bother you. It's not only her good that's concerned. And when we criticize a person, we usually do both. God, lo hibid ovim beYaakov, God does not, when he judges us on Rosh Hashanah, there's absolutely nothing about the pain we caused him, that he's bothered by it. It's only about us. That's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, and that's the way we introduce the Rosh Hashanah service, the din in Rosh Hashanah, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. In the future, there's a din and there's tochacha, also pained. We pain God, right? We victimized him also. In terms of the relationship, we believe we've hurt him, because otherwise, right, we anthropomorphically, God had to create a world in which he does allow himself. This slide just to make sure nobody makes a mistake. God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is totally unaffected. But God created a relationship. He relates to us in the world as Elohim, as King. That is, God is affected by what we do. That's why when we do a mitzvah, we've done something for him. When we do a sin, we've detracted from him. Otherwise, the whole system makes no sense. If this is not God, but the God who relates to the world, Elohim, is a God who is affected by what we do. In fact, I'm just saying with Rav Chaim Volozhin, the scriptures say this, Tenu oz le'Elohim, give strength to God. You do a mitzvah, you empower him. You do a sin, you're machlish him. God is very much affected. I only use the word God in Hebrew, it's a much better way of saying it. It's the God we relate to, not the God who's everything. He's not affected, but he created the ability that we relate to him, that he's affected by us. And therefore, that's the way we can earn our place and earn a relationship with him, because we do things that he allowed himself to be affected, or he created a way of relating to him that he's affected by what we've done. So God is affected, but the fact is he loves us. When he judges us on Rosh Hashanah, that's not part of the equation. It's only about he's acting as a doctor to give us exactly the surgery we need, and maybe not even margins. He can do exactly what's necessary in order to cure us. The fact that he was pain and we affected him, which we do, that he overlooks. That's all the time. But la'asid lavo, on the Yom HaDin, there we have to deal with that also. There's a Yom HaDin and there's a Yom Tochacha. Tochacha there means we victimized God. We did affect him. Like we insulted our parents, or I get insulted, my child does something, even if I'm perfect, the only dealing with him. But deep down buried, there's a hurt that my child caused me. Hopefully I'm able to control myself not to deal with that hurt. In the ultimate day of judgment, God deals with perfecting us and deals with restoring his hurt. And therefore, that's what it's saying here. We're learning out from here how when a victim is hurt, you're not going to have anything to say. On the day of judgment, you may have an answer. In fact, we know you can bring lawyers into court. Angels are your lawyers. You can defend yourself. You can defend yourself from sin. You can defend yourself from doing something wrong. But the hurt that he's feeling, that there's no defense. And that's what it's saying. The victim, God, we victimize him too. So what the Torah is telling us over here, Yosef here was a victim. And therefore, when a victim tells you his pain, there is no answer to that pain. You know, however we can make that good, or we hopefully will do things to let him know that, you know, we feel bad for the pain, we'll apologize for the pain, but that there's no There's no defense for pain. That's what it's telling us in Bilaam's donkey. There's no defense for pain. There's no defense for the pain we inflict on God either. There's an answer's judgment. Of course, you're allowed to. You can bring lawyers in. That's no problem. It just means that on the day of Tochach, our question: where is the Tochach? Where? God's judging us. No. This judgment is about us. Tochach is about his being victimized. It's like to go one step further. If what we're saying is correct, what I have a feeling is that even when I criticize somebody else, I have to go through the Rambam is good if this is 100% true. You did something to me, I'm victimized. Now, that same mitzvah is when you're doing something to yourself, I have to tell you, you're doing something wrong. I'm wondering what the real posture of proper criticism is to let you know you're victimizing yourself. That you're the victim, you're a victim of your behavior. Which is not a bad way to give a person the feeling he's not bad. You know, I'm not focusing on your bad choice and you're a terrible person. I'm focusing on the hurt you did to yourself. You know, it's the mitzvah tochach, I think, means over there. It's the, I'm your friend and you're a victim. You're not a victim of what I've done. You're a victim of what you're doing to yourself. You're victimizing yourself. I have a feeling that in order to make, here for sure, the victim himself, when he's told pain, I'm a victim. I'm wondering the feeling is to give a person in criticism, you're the victim of your behavior. And therefore, focus on the harm what he's doing to himself, which is what the Rambam says, which really means you're a victim of your bad choice. You have a choice. I'm not, normally when I criticize, you made it, you're stupid. You made that stupid choice. Forget about that. That's not the thing to focus on. That he's a victim. Who's a victim? He's a victim of himself. You can be a victim of your own choices too. Self-destructive behaviors, you're a victim of yourself. I'm not talking about your bad choice. I'm talking about you're victimizing yourself. I wonder, maybe that's the most exact definition of what criticism is to let a person understand he's victimizing himself by his behavior. The Rambam used the word you're hurting yourself, but I said that's really what it means. In other words, I'm telling you, you're a victim. You know, a person feels that he's on drugs, or he's a victim. Doesn't make a difference that he did it. I'm not talking about that you made a bad choice. I said, look at yourself. You're a victim over here. You know, do you want to be a victim? You're hurting yourself. You're really a victim. Which means I'm not focusing on your choice. I'm focusing on the result of your choice. And I think that's a lot less threatening to a person. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about, if I insult you, you're a victim. You can do that. And then I'm only talking about you're in pain. Let's see how we can help you in your pain. You do that to yourself too. I get a feeling it's almost one mitzvah to tell you, it's almost tochach is to, I'm in pain. So when I'm in pain, you have nothing to answer me. What I'm telling you in the same mitzvah is you have to realize that you're in pain too. You're paining yourself. You should be in a lot of pain. Do you understand what the pain you should be feeling? This, I think, is a much more accurate understanding of Chazal, that when criticism is letting a person know that you care about him, that the Rambam says, I'm your friend and you're hurting yourself. And then there's another criticism when I'm hurting, when I'm the victim of your behavior, then all I'm doing is talking about my pain. It's pain. I'm not even talking about you. And you could give an excuse that, you know, you shouldn't have started up with me. You have what to say, but you can't say anything. Because when I'm in pain, it's wrong to give a person a feeling that maybe you brought it on yourself. That's the wrong thing to do. And that's what we're learning out. They couldn't answer him because you can't answer a person in pain. Well, you know, you should have done something. The one who inflicted the pain was you on me. And so you're going to say, yeah, but if I wouldn't have teased you, you wouldn't have hit me. That's not an answer to somebody that's in pain. And that's what I think that's what we need a place to learn that out from. Right? There is a good answer. I punched you in the mouth. Okay, you shouldn't have insulted me. That's not an answer to pain. That's not an answer to pain. That doesn't mean, by the way, that I'm not going to get punished for it. Like Yosef himself was punished for that. for Mechiras Yosef, one of the 10 brothers that were punished was Joseph. In fact, I think the Rabbeinu Bechai says that's Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva's torture, because he's actually represented Yosef. So you can understand the one who didn't even do it, the one who did something rather minor, and I mean, who instigated, at the end of the day, got the, it sounds from the whole piyut there, from the whole poem there, that he got the worst punishment of all. That's as far as he's concerned. But as far as you're concerned, that you can't say, because you have to be responsible for your actions, and you can never excuse an action that you do because somebody else instigated it. That doesn't free you from anything. There's nothing to answer when I'm talking about my pain. So I don't know if this will take away some of the joy of Tochacha, but it'll be very much more effective, for sure. If we understand this is our goal, we'll be much more effective. We can criticize our children, our spouses, in a much more effective way than when we realize we're not trying to tell them they're not behaving properly, we're not trying to tell them they're making bad choices. We have to give them the feeling, I care about them, and they're only doing something to hurt themselves. They're the victims of their own actions. And by the way, that person doesn't get insulted mostly by that because they know that's true. Then, and if they admit to that, and then they should grab your hand and say, okay, how can I stop victimizing myself? It changes the whole thing from looking down at a person and I'm on top of you and I know it's right and wrong and I'm a disciplined person and I make good choices and you make stupid choices, which is the way a person feels anytime you criticize them, that you're lording on top of them. If you're talking about them just about the pain, at some level they know they're victimizing themselves, then they may even reach out to you and ask for help. So it's just, and with our children, for sure, this is the way to give them the feeling that I'm not older and smarter, and therefore I know what's right, and you're something wrong with your the way you're programmed, your choices. It's, you're hurting yourself. You're in a lot of pain, and you're doing. You're really injuring yourself. And at that point, hopefully, you know, child that cuts himself at the end of the day, he's in pain. A child that's on drugs is doing things that are harmful. So instead of saying, how do you choose, say no, that's not the way to get to it. Say yes instead of, say no instead of yes. The way to get to it is to let help him, that you're there to help him get out of the pain and suffering that he's actually brought on himself, that he's actually victimized himself. You're not thinking less of him. So it's like, when someone is a victim, you never feel less for them. You don't feel any less about the person. That's the way to deal when somebody would criticize. He's a victim. I love you just as much before. Your choice is not, I'm dealing with the victim here. Who cares whether you did it to yourself or somebody else? That when you decide, when you realize you're a victim, then you'll decide how, or maybe you'll ask for help. I did this to myself. Help me. How do I not do it to myself? But if you give this starting point, you're actually a victim. Not that you're a Russian. Not that you're evil or stupid or immature. It's that you're a victim. Then I think you have a good, better starting point than a person looking, if accepting the criticism. Roger.
The beauty of the Torah, Yosef says, doesn't say, I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? That would have been devastating. What he says is, I am Yosef, your brother. He immediately accepts them.
That's a nice one.
Puts everything behind him. And then the question is, can you criticize a stranger? Or does it have to be someone
one second. He doesn't say that.
He doesn't.
No. He says to his brothers, I am Yosef. Is my father alive?
My father, not our father.
Yeah, that's. And
he's not our father.
Not our father. My father. Father. That means I'm a victim. That's what he's saying. I'm a victim. Are you? He said to his brothers, but he. That's the narrator saying who he was speaking to.
The translation on 499 says, I am Yosef, your brother. But that's...
No, that's later on. Later. Yeah, that's later on. And by the way, It's interesting. He actually says exactly what you said, but he waits. I guess he waits to see that they didn't answer. In other words, if they would have justified it to themselves, listen, you know, you start up with us. Okay, we know we overreacted, that maybe he wouldn't have done that. But when he understood that they internalized his pain and they didn't feel that, they didn't hold him responsible, then I'm your brother. You're right, there's a progression over here. The first time, I'm Yosef. But when he doesn't, when they don't answer him, but you brought this on yourself, that's when I'm your brother. Because when they got the message, when he saw they got the message that we're talking about this morning, that somebody that's in pain, you cannot answer him by saying, you brought it on yourself. To some extent, you brought it in yourself. The perpetrator can't do that to the person in pain. That's when he decided. That means they felt his pain. And that's why they didn't say that. And therefore, the answer is...
then he comes back and says...
I'm your brother. Which I guess does mean that. What about if it's not my brother? Maybe over there I will give an answer. I mean, there is an answer. I hit you because you start up with me. So, you know, when two kids are fighting in the house, it's certainly not an answer to the sibling. It's not an answer to the mother, but what about if a stranger hits me?
Yeah, can you criticize a stranger? For conduct.
Yeah, you can certainly criticize, but when you overreacted, could you still answer a stranger? Maybe you can. Interesting. Maybe a stranger, think about that. Somebody bothered you and you punched him in the mouth. But he says, I'm in pain. And you have to be quiet there too. To a brother, I mean, we have brother, God, and we have, you know, the donkey that's married to Balaam. You know, that wasn't just his possession. His was his paramour. Those are the only three examples we have that may actually be true, that to a total stranger, how'd you do that? You start up with me. Yeah, I understand it was wrong for me to hit you, but nevertheless, don't be such a big tzaddik over here that you're not blameless. That's a feeling to somebody you love, I guess. That's a feeling to somebody you love, that even though they've done something wrong, and not only that, because we find out God will punish them for it, but nevertheless, somebody you love and they're in pain, the only proper reaction is silence. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. What to think about?
After we come over.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, for what? I mean, well, I wouldn't want to be blamed for it. Maybe I understand I should be blamed because he hit me because I started up with him.
I'm still supposed to love him. I'm supposed to love
him. Yeah, but I love him the way I expect him to deal with me. The way I want him to deal with me. If I start up with him, I don't know how insulted I am. A very interesting idea, right? What do you owe? We know for sure you start up with a person and he hits you. It's true, you get punished, but he also gets, he has some culpability for starting up with you. He has some culpability. And every kid knows that. Mommy, what'd you hit your brother for? He was teasing me. Everybody knows that's what they say. And her answer will not be, okay, you shouldn't have told us. But even if it's true he teaches, you're not allowed to hit him. That still remains true. When a person's in pain, you can't say that to the victim. Or only a victim that you love, you can't say that to. That's the fact. Think of it.